Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. So tap into the pulse of today's youth this hour to explore the lively Technical College Aviation Program. I'm always excited with this program. When I had you all on first, I thought it was just fascinating. So I want to thank you all for coming. Joining me here at the round table, I welcome Allison Blakely. Allison is at Lively Technical College. She's in aviation and sports.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. Joseph Garcia. Joseph is a teacher and instructor at Lively Technical College in aviation.
Hello.
Always glad to have him back. Shelley Bell at Lively Technical College, director.
Thank you for having me this afternoon.
Zion Rizzo. Zion is into flying and football, and of course, he's at Lively.
Thank you for having me here.
Okay. And John Russell. John is at Leon High School. His things are flying and building and
it's remote control.
Oh, remote control. Okay. Well, welcome to 411 Team.
I'm glad to be here.
Lively Technical Center was established in 1937. It has evolved to serve thousands of students annually, primarily in Leon, Gadsden, Wakulla, and neighboring South Georgia and Alabama. In partnership with the extended community, Lively Technical Center, which is now Lively Technical College, provides educational training to both teens and adults, empowering students for success in a myriad of fields, from accounting to automation to digital design and practical nursing and aviation maintenance technology. So, let's talk about what you all do. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and again this hour I am featuring Lively Technical Center, our college, I need to be corrected, and the aviation program. Since its inception, as we said, in 1937, at this point, do you know actually how many students you have?
Right now we're serving about 1,300, between 1,300 and 1,500 annually.
Wow, that's impressive.
And that doesn't include the programs that we have on some of our local high school campuses.
Okay.
We have a program at Godby High School in nursing and welding, a program at Rickards, and five programs down in Wakulla County at their high school as well.
For those who may not know, can you share where you're located?
We are located on Apple Yard Drive, right next to Tallahassee Community College at 500 North Apple Yard.
Okay. Now, what is the process? Somebody may be listening. They want to find out some more information. What is the admission process?
So we have two different ways that students come to Lively. They can come as a dual-enrolled student. Typically, what you'd find at maybe a Tallahassee Community College or with FAMU or FSU, that while a student is in high school, they can take advantage of coming to our programs at no cost at all. They work with their guidance department. We have students in our aviation program that are currently at maybe Leon or Lincoln or one of our other high schools, and they dual enroll. So they come to us part-time, and this can go for just about any of our programs on campus. They just need to work with their high school guidance counselor. They fit it in their schedule. Our courses count similar to an elective that they would take at their traditional high school. It counts in their GPA. They do get that accelerated honors or AP credit for taking our dual enrollment classes.
Wow.
And then on the flip side, once a student graduates from high school, if they choose to come to us, we are just like any other post-secondary institution. We are a college. We take Bright Futures. Students can use financial aid. They can walk through our doors, meet with a career counselor, look at the different programs that we have, and apply to come to any one of our 40-plus programs that we have.
What is the cost?
The cost depends.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our programs, we like to say, are a career in a year. Aviation actually takes 2 years. They're one of our outliers. Cost is going to range from about $2,000 a year to about $4,000 a year. If they're going to do a two-year program like aviation, it's going to be right around $8,500. But most of our programs are going to stay under that $4,000 a year amount.
Now, if they're dually enrolled,
It's free.
As a high school student, wow. Yep, they can. We have students that are in our nursing programs, here. Welding, aviation, and that's saving mom and dad some money on their pocketbook because they're able to come in for free.
And I would think that would be really rather unique and beneficial because they could come in and finish with a certificate in whatever area they're studying. So when they come out of high school, not only will they have a high school diploma, but they'll have whatever is necessary or almost be there.
Absolutely.
Well, we got three students here. Okay. I'd like to hear from you all, just at least what was the impetus, what was the motivation, what made you decide, I think I want to be dually enrolled. And I know every one of you have been dually enrolled, right?
I have not.
Okay.
When I was in high school, I actually didn't even know about this program.
Well, that's why we're doing this this program, because folks need to know what's happening. Yeah.
But I also, when I was like, okay, where am I going to go to college? I actually went down to Embry-Riddle for aerospace engineering.
Okay.
Tuition got too expensive for both me and my family to afford.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back. I went to TCC to get my AA, and then I found out about this program. As soon as I found out, I contacted, and I think Mr. Garcia actually answered the phone, and he gave me a tour, like, that next day, and then, like, a week later, I was applying to come to classes here starting in the fall. So that's how I got here.
So that's how you got here. All mm-hmm. right, but these two gentlemen were dually enrolled, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, what was the calling card? What made you be interested to think, let me check this out?
Well, two summers ago, mm-hmm. I was at a summer camp at Florida Aviation, and we were just taking tours around, you know, Tallahassee, and it had to do with everything about aviation around in Tallahassee. So, like, I would go to the towers, the fireplace, mm-hmm. and then we went to Lively, and that's when I met Garcia. And, you know, when Garcia started talking,
once you meet him, he rubs you in.
I was right there.
I would love to have him for an instructor. He's super. He's a special person.
And that's how I knew about the place, and I knew that it was free cost for high school students. So I was like, I got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be a pilot when I grow up and also, you know, work on my own planes. And I just thought this would be a good start to my journey.
Oh, yeah. This is ideal.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
So I figured out from talking to my school principal, I was talking to him one day, and he was like, hey, you can do a dual enrollment at Lively for AMP school. And he always knew that I was in the planes, and mm-hmm. he told me about this. He's like, it's totally free. You can go and do it. So I signed up. As a sophomore in high school, I'm signing up for a dual enrollment class.
Wow, that's impressive. So you started dual enrollment in sophomore year.
Yes.
And that's kind of early, isn't it? Because people usually are dually enrolled more. You see it in senior year or maybe
we're starting to see more and more juniors and seniors.
Okay.
We like to at least get in their head that it's an opportunity sometime their freshman year
mm-hmm.
so that they can plan their schedule accordingly and make sure that they get, you know, if they need that practical art or they want driver's ed, that they can get those courses taken their ninth and tenth grade year. So if they want to come to us their junior and senior year, they have that space on their schedule to come out and take advantage of our classes.
Oh, that's good to hear because I obviously people don't know that.
We're slowly starting to make sure that all of our principals and make sure that they know it, that our programs are out there and the benefit that they have. And I think getting the name changed has been critical for getting everyone in our community to understand just how important all of our programs are.
Lively Technical College.
Yep.
Sounds good to me. Has a nice little flow, like it's supposed to be. That's great. What about the teachers and the instructors? And I'll turn to you, Mr. Garcia, and, you know, tell us what it's like to be a teacher there.
I tell people all the time, my whole life, ever since I've been 18, I've been fixing airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people all the time when they ask a question like that, this is the hardest job I've ever had.
Oh, really?
But I can tell you the most enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about an airplane is when you fix it and you get it to go flying, it comes back and does what it does, it has no feelings. It doesn't tell you, hey, thank you. You know, it doesn't tell me, I have no result. All I see is something I did and it goes off, comes back. With each and every student, every day, you see smiles. You see an effect. Just sitting here listening to the students and them saying that how they got started was by some contact with the school and with myself, it makes me blush. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel happy that I'm able to go to school every day and teach. It keeps an instructor going. And I can tell you, that's just not myself. Mm-hmm. You find that a lot with our instructors, because every instructor that I know of in LIVE that we talk to and that's there, they were all professionals at one time and then came to teach. And so they're doing it because they're very happy to do it, and they want to pass on what they've learned and give off that career to them.
Mm-hmm. What about the community? Now, let's say they're listening to this program, and maybe they don't want to get a certification in it, but they would like to explore some of the different things that you have, some of the different programs that you have. Is that an option? Can someone come and enroll and not really be in a certificate-related, degree-related program? I mean, can you just take it for your own enhancement?
Of our programs, yes. And we work with students and adults that come in to kind of figure out what it is they want. Do they want just a short-term course because they want to learn enough skills to maybe fix something on their own? Or do they want the full breadth of the program? And so we work with students to kind of figure out exactly what their end goal is. Is it just so that I can go home and fix my air conditioning, or is it because I mm-hmm. want to have my own business one day? Mm-hmm. In our aviation program, I think all of these students are coming in because it is so heavily regulated by the FAA that they're coming in with an idea in mind that they want to go into this industry. Maybe it's as a pilot, maybe it's as a mechanic, but that they're going, that's one of the different programs we have, because most people just don't have an airplane in their backyard that they're going to go piddle on. But that's they're true. Coming in to this specific program with an idea that they want to get a job. And Joe can speak to this, there are so many jobs out there. It's one of the industries that we're actually fearful that we're not going to have enough people prepared for with the potential job openings we're seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. What we're seeing today is we have high school students that come to us. They come to us when they're 16 out of a high school, basically, and they go through the course. By the time they're 18, 19 years old, they're certified. They are getting
fantastic
jobs straight out of here, out of our school, going straight to work on aircraft. We have a couple that went to a company down in Central Florida, and they're working on aircraft that can carry 300 people, and this is their first job.
Wow.
So, so for the most part, they have built a career. And that's what's important when you go to school. And for what we're offering and the price that we're offering it out, you're buying a career.
You're tuned into 411 Teen, and I'm telling you, we have a very dynamic group of folks here, and we're talking about the aviation program at Lively Technical College. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily. If you're just tuning in, this is a great program. We are featuring the aviation program at Lively Technical College. Again, joining me here at the roundtable, I have Allison Blakely, Mr. Joseph Garcia, Ms. Shelley Bell, Zion Rizzo, and John Russell. And they are here representing the aviation program. Mr. Garcia, I had to interrupt you, and we were talking about all the options and the job possibilities. So if you would continue.
Yes. As I was saying about the jobs, when these students graduate and they go out to the field, they're going straight to work on aircraft that can carry 200-300 people. So it's an amazing thing today that they're taking this kind of attitude or position mm-hmm. where they're going straight into a field where the responsibility is heavy. So mm-hmm. while they're in our school, we're teaching that with them. We're going through the just not teaching them, hey, this is how you fix an airplane, this is how you do this, this is how you do that, but the responsibility of doing those careers. So it's a good way of coming to somewhere and learning how to understand what a career really is. Mm-hmm. Because once you get out there, I do get phone calls, Mr. Garcia, this is shocking. I can't believe I'm doing this. And I said, no, believe it because you're doing it.
What? How did you first get involved in it?
Well, I started flying airplanes when I was 14 years old and didn't really have the means in order to be doing it, as a full-time basis or chase that type of career. And so I was flying one day over an airport, and on top of the airport, it said on a building, learn to fix aircraft. So I took the airplane, landed, and I walked right in and I said, teach me. And so I started the classes, and it's class just like ours. In fact, every school that's out there has a standard with the FAA that they have to teach this course in a certain way. And so they get the same education whether you come here or go to another school.
Mm-hmm.
You get the same certification. So when I did that, I finished the course and then went straight to work, like these gentlemen and young ladies are going to do. They went straight to work, and I've been doing it ever since. Never done anything else. The only time I've ever been out of work is when 9/11 happened, that kind of put all the airplanes down, and got put on furlough. And that's when I came down to Florida to go fishing, and the governor's airplane had a problem. And I went in there, did my magic, and they said, "Do you want a job?" And I said, "Sure, I'll stay as long as the furlough's on," but just decided to stay. They called me back to the airlines, and I said, "No, this is where I want. It's much warmer here."
Yes, it is. Yes, the climate is much more appealing.
So that's how I came to Florida. That's how I came here. And then after that, I started working on the governor's aircraft and doing that for many years. And when the governor's office decided they were going to fly their own airplane instead of having the fleet, I was like left to what to do, and found out there was an opening at the high school, and went into teaching ninth graders how to fix airplanes. And it's incredible, because I can tell you, we have ninth graders that I started at Lincoln and have finished a program, and they're now working, fixing these big aircraft and fixing small aircraft and doing their thing.
And I would guess, as far as a job, you can go any place, because airplanes are every place. So wherever you want to be, there would be the option for employment.
I know the other night, I don't get my airframe certification until at least November, because I've just started the program, the airframe portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at jobs, and there are jobs everywhere, depending on different things. And there's so many certifications that we could possibly get. Anywhere from our airframe and power plant, which is the focus, we could get rated to go work on radios someplace, or avionics. And so there's so many jobs out there. I know I was looking at places like up closer north to where my grandparents and my aunt lived, and there's so many, I was overwhelmed. I was like, wow, I can go just about anywhere.
Isn't that right? That's a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, and then I even saw that as of right now, there were a couple openings over in Panama City, Pensacola. So I could even stay close to here if I wanted to, or I could go down to Orlando or Atlanta or anywhere. The possibilities are truly endless.
That is great. Let's talk a little bit about the training. I mean, how does aviation differ from the other instructional programs?
Okay, so basically the FAA mandates the curriculum, if you would.
Okay.
They come to us and tell us, you have to teach this for a certain amount of hours, and you have to do it on these type of aircraft in order to get certified.
So it's standardized.
It's very standardized.
Yeah, that's great.
And those of us that are flying, that's what we want. We want to make sure that who's working on that plane, that they've been through a rigorous curriculum. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. They get so strict about it that you actually have to do a certain amount of hours on each subject, and we have to follow that. And so by that, that's what's controlling how we teach, which really means something, because if you come to our school, you've heard about what the cost is. It's very low.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to other institutions, they're $40,000, $50,000 for the same license.
Okay.
So that's what I mean by buying a license. If you go and you're going to search a school and go to a school to get this certification to become a mechanic, we're pretty there, because a lot of people don't realize we're a part of the Leon County school system.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're at the airport, they distance that from the idea that we are a public institution. Most places are private. And because they are private, they have private aircraft, they have private instructors, and so the cost becomes very elevated.
Sky high,
But if we're servicing young people, they're not the ones who can afford that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this institution is so great. For instance, we just heard someone say they went to another school and they couldn't afford that cost, and they came to us. We get that a lot. And the ones that come straight to us, they learn that very quickly, that other places are charging a lot. And what I have heard is I hear students go get their first job, and they're talking to somebody else, and they're both working on the same aircraft, and they can't believe how much money they're saving by not paying school loans, as opposed to someone who had to pay $40,000 or $50,000 for their certification. most of the hours they work are there for paying the school up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a great benefit that we have here in our community. A lot of people out there don't understand or don't even know that we have an aviation program at the airport for every high school student to attend.
And what if you aren't a high school student and you really want
to? They can come. We want them to come in. We are seeing more and more students, adult students, coming to us actually with bachelor's degrees, with degrees from, you know, universities and colleges where they've thought they were going to do something, and then they get a degree and say, I can't, there's no jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing more, and not just in our aviation, but in all of our programs, adults coming back saying, I gotta learn a skill, a trade, be able to do something just to go out into the marketplace. You know, we know healthcare is up there, aviation, the building trades. And unfortunately, we have some people that love to go to college and they love to spend mom and dad's money and have $60,000 or $70,000 in debt. But they got a degree in something that they love.
It's not marketable.
But it's not marketable. And so we're seeing a lot of those students come back to us saying, okay, mom and dad said fun's over. Now I've actually got to do something to pay the bills.
And I know, you know, this is just kind of a sidebar, but college is not for everyone, okay? That's another thing. And this whole vocational training, this is my own thing, I think is very, very important. And I really think it is the key. Okay, I think it is a big key to just maintaining our community and our society and moving on. I mean, if you look at all the technology and the advancements that are going on, you're not gonna know what to do with a BS in English. And I'm not knocking college at all, but I mean, I think there are other roads that need to be taken.
Absolutely.
And the fact that you can be high school students and get this training and come out and in a year or so, you know, whatever, walk into a high-paying a job that can maintain yourself. I mean, that is commendable, you know?
And one of the things we know with the aviation is it's like our building trades, like some of the other mm-hmm. industries, it's an aging workforce. And so you know, you'll start to hear a lot of talk about where are we getting the next mechanics from? Where are we getting our next major contractors or healthcare professionals? And so we look at the data and we know it's something that in the state of Florida, because we have some aviation heavy areas of our industry, mm-hmm. we look to the west with what we've got over there with some of the military bases and down south with our larger airports. And, you know, people are still flying. They're flying every day. You look at, you know, everyone knows the chaos of what happens when airlines delay a flight.
Oh, gosh.
And, you know, but we've got to think. We've got to have good people on the ground making sure that those planes can fly. And so it is one area where we continue to hear the need for strong mechanics in aviation. And so we're glad that we have this program and that we can start getting our high school kids to at least look, explore, and come take advantage of the program at an early age.
Now, do you all have open houses or anything that, you know, the community, the schools can become aware of? I know it may not be going on now, but
yeah, it's not going on now, but we do.
Kind of thing?
Yep, and we have a great website, livelytech.com. We invite people to visit. We, like many of the students here, Joe's door is always open. Joe gets phone calls. People call him. They email us. We send them right to him. We're always glad to meet with students individually, give them tours, sit down with them and kind of map out what it is they want as a career, mm-hmm. have them meet with one of our career counselors at our main campus. But our doors are always open, and we do have open house periodically throughout the year. We're also out on our high school campuses quite a bit, so we're starting to make sure that students hear us, whether it's at Childs or Godby or Rickards or Lincoln or Leon or Wakulla or Gadsden, making sure that they know the possibilities that are with us. We've brought on Curtis Richardson over at Lively on the main campus, who's doing our outreach and mm-hmm. You know, starting to build those partnerships. And so he's a great asset, and you know, mm-hmm. people use him too. Just, you know, if they know Curtis, contact him. He'll come out.
Right.
He'll talk to your Rotary group. He's out doing a lot mm-hmm. of the civic engagement and make sure everyone knows, you know, we don't want to be a hidden gem in Tallahassee.
And you are.
We want
everybody needs to know
right?
about
We want everyone
this.
To know what's going on at Lively and the great things that we're doing. And, you know, I know just next week on Monday, Joe's got us working working with our state legislators to try and get an appropriation to get some more equipment out there. So that's moving us one step forward and making sure that we continue to have the latest and greatest technology and get a new aircraft in there so that we can make sure we're training our students on the best of the best.
These faces, too bad we aren't on, I always say this, too bad we aren't on television, because they need to see the students. Their faces are lit up. John, tell me, what is it about the program that you like best of all?
It's definitely the way it's set up, the teaching. It really gets you involved. Okay. So once you go in there, you're like, oh, maybe I don't like this, but then you, the teachers, they show that they care about you, mm-hmm. unlike most other places that you go. It's going to get you involved in the program.
Okay, so it's that, it seems like that there's a lot of one-to-one or close communication with the teacher.
Yes.
Okay.
Me, I would say the atmosphere and the people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Boy, it's a real testimonial, huh?
I know it's different. When I was in college, I went to school, went to work, easy peasy, like, didn't really care about the classes, so I was kind of bored. I got here, and I was like, wow. Like, we don't have a lot of homework, but there are some times when you do go home and you have to say, I don't know what I'm doing. I know when I was in the general portion and we were going over some of the electrical work, I was like, I cried because I was so frustrated because I didn't know what I was doing. And then one day I looked at it and I was like, oh, I don't know why I was having this problem. And I just figured it
just
all out.
It's all kind of messed.
And it's different. Like, the hands-on experience. I enjoy going to class now. I enjoy getting up in the morning. I enjoy it. It's just totally different from college. And if you can't sit in the classroom and listen to a lecture all day, this is exactly where you need to be. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Mr. Garcia does lecture. All of them lecture. But it's stuff you're interested in, so you're more That's likely to stay awake in class. You're more likely to learn and get the information you want to learn.
So. What's a tip for those of you who are in high school? What's a typical day like? I mean, and by the, when I'm asking you that, I mean, how many hours do you spend at school, you know, your brick and mortar? And then when do you go to Lively and do your aviation thing? How does that work? I guess I want to get a feel for what your schedule is like.
Well, my day starts off at 7:30, my okay. first period starts, okay. and then I do That's my typical. Four core classes, and 11:15, I come over to Lively from Leon, and I'm there till 3 o'clock.
Okay. All right. And is that the same for you?
No, ma'am. I'm different. So I go to Lively at 8 to 3 because I'm a full-time student.
Okay.
I do my high school classes online on virtual school. That's how I'm able to do it full-time.
Okay, so what I'm hearing then, there are a lot of different options.
We have a
options.
Lot of flexibility.
Well, tell us about
this. So we have
this.
A lot of flexibility, and it depends where the student is. Virtual school is a great opportunity for some students who may want to come to us full-time.
Mm-hmm.
If they can do the virtual work, if that's a way that they learn.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do full-time morning, we can do full-time afternoon. We really work with the high schools to determine what is going to be best for this student. And uh-huh. there have been times where we may have a student that comes to us their junior year part-time, but then their senior year they're able to come all day. So we just work with the schools and kind of look at each individual student's schedule to figure out, you know, do they still need math, English, and science, or have they taken those and they have room to come to us a little bit longer. And you know, Joe knows how that works. And we have great staff that will work with our high school guidance counselors to kind of figure out an individualized plan for each student that's interested in coming to us.
So it sounds like it's a tailored program.
Absolutely. Absolutely tailored.
Tailored to that student.
Absolutely.
Their
yep.
needs and, you know, their abilities also, what time, the time they have.
Yep. So if they can come morning, afternoon, all day, we're going to work with them.
Okay.
You know, the nice thing about it is that our high school guidance counselors know that the students who want to come to us, they're really invested. You know, they're not sending students who are just like, maybe I'll come, maybe I won't.
Right.
These are students who are very invested in the program, and so they're willing to work with us to come up with a schedule that's going to be best for that student.
And that makes it really rewarding for the instructor and the teachers, too, because if you have a group of students who are enthusiastic and gainfully involved in what you're doing, that's
very beneficial.
Yeah, the great thing is they've already come to us and saying, this is what I want to do. So that's already won. It's not like I have to get them in the student, and I don't have to engage them. They're already engaged. So what I got to do when I'm in the classroom is take that engagement and make sure it stays with me. That's what I mean. It's one of the hardest things to do as a teacher that I found is trying to keep on top and be entertaining. If I got to grab a cup of water and pour it on myself and say, look at me, that's what I'll do. I mean, you can ask the kids. I mean, they'll tell you all kinds of crazy things to get my attention. But, you know, with this idea that they come into us and they've got this goal and they have the idea that they want to learn this or do this or ultimately they want to do this in their life. I tell people aviation is one of those careers that you can do anything you want to. You want to go into real estate? Aviation real estate. You want to go to accounting? Aviation accounting. You want to be a doctor? Aviation medicine. Anything that you want to do in any institution, you can take aviation attached to it. But as a ninth grader, it's very hard, or a 10th grader, someone who's 16, that's looking to start that now because they already know what they want to do, it's very difficult. So I tell them, come to our program, learn this format and the base, get that mechanics license, and then go to another institution because once you get that license, if you go to some institutions that have an aeronautical program, they will give you around 40 credits towards that degree because you've already gained that license.
Oh, really?
Then you can go and study aeronautical engineering, aeronautical accounting, like I said, medicine, or just about anything. Any institution that has a career or a subject we can attach aviation to.
So what I hear you saying is get the foundation.
Exactly. Start it.
It's just a building block, and you can go straight out into a career, or you can just keep building on. Like, you know, we never stop learning. So you can do this for a little bit and keep adding on, and that's what we see a lot of in the aviation industry.
You're tuned into 411 Team. We're going to take a break, but we will continue this conversation shortly.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? Well, I'll tell you what the 411 is. It's Lively Technical College Aviation Program. That's what's happening. I had to interrupt you, Mr. Garcia, but you may continue on.
As I was saying, you know, as these kids go out there and they're looking for different careers or they have an idea of what they want to do, they can take an aviation, as you said, it's a base. We can take that and you're getting certified. Never in my dreams would I would have thought that I would have been an aviation teacher, much less in high school. I mean, I fixed airplanes for a living and fell into this job, so that's why I try to tell my students, you may start off doing this, but it may not be where you end. Life will take you in different directions. Your boss or your supervisor might come to you and say, look, we got this opening. I think that you have the aptitude to do that because of what you already know. Let's take you in that direction. And for the most part, most of these companies will pay for that. When I was at Lockheed Martin, I was only 21 years old, and they told me, you know, we have you here. You're a good mechanic, great mechanic, but we want to send you to school. And I was like, the school's not for me. They said, we want to send you to aeronautical engineering classes. So I took my mechanics license and started going in that direction. And that's what's going to happen to these students. It happens. These students start off, they get to the company, a large company like Lockheed Martin or Airbus or some company like that. They start them off as mechanics and they find what their potential is because that's how they grow. They find their potential, their aptitude, and they say, we're going to take you and send you off to go in this direction. And that's what happens. So this is not limited. This is not limited just to us. For instance, right now we're starting to send airplanes into space.
Yeah.
If we're doing that and we're seeing that happen, it could be one day these students are not just aircraft mechanics, but space mechanics. Right. It could be they're Luke Skywalker, don't even know it.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That's cool. Allison, you had something you were going to say?
I know, like, as I started this program, Lively doesn't do, like, bachelor degrees and some of that. But I'm also starting to look at other colleges to get my bachelor's degree online through them. I know right now I'm in contact with one of the advisors, and I can go take online classes for significantly cheaper than going to the campus. And I'm thinking about starting that so whenever I get my A&P license, I can get my bachelor's in safety. So then I can go and be like a safety officer or even management, and I can go into management. And I plan on hopefully one day going back and getting my engineering degree. But I know right now I want to go work on airplanes. The more we go do it in
That's
class,
great.
We go into the hangar, we work on, like just recently we took a wing off the Cessna 152. I was all into it, like taking everything apart and then putting it all back together. And that was like where I was. I was happy in that. And then we went back to the classroom and we're like, Garcia, please let us go back out there. Please.
Wow. I mean, it just has to be so rewarding working with these students.
Oh, it absolutely is. To see them actually be able to go out there after you told them, this is how you do it, this is how you do it, and then stepping away. And it's very hard to step away, but I have to because I have to let them do it. Yeah. Because if I stand there and they tell me, show me, I'm going to show them.
Yeah.
So I have to walk away, and they're like, why did he leave? It's because I need them to do it themselves.
That's right.
And they can do it. They actually are surprised at times that, hey, I was able to take that off and put it back on, such as a wing. That's a major thing to do.
Yeah, I would think so.
And
it's pretty vital to the airplane, that wing.
Exactly. At the age they're doing it, now they've discovered and now they've built confidence. Once they build that confidence, when they go and get that job, their employer is going to love it because they have the confidence to be able to do it.
Mm. Well, talk to us, share with us the courses that you take at the foundation. I mean, what can students anticipate? What do they need? Because again, where do they go? Can they take the courses with you, or do they take courses in school and then take some? I mean, how does that work? What are the basics?
Okay, so basically, like I said, we take dual enroll students.
Okay,
the age must be 16.
Okay,
and
okay.
For the most part, one of the reasons we 16. Do that is because they need to be able to get themselves from the school to our facility and be able to drive themselves. So that's really why it's 16 years
and
old.
And I'm glad, excuse me for interrupting, I'm glad you said that because that was the question we started talking. I meant to ask, how do you all get from school to, you know, to the aviation program?
Well, for me, for the first part of the year, because somehow I got in before I was 16, so I had my friend who's also going with me. He would come pick me up from Leon, and then he would drive me over.
Okay, okay. So they have to be able to provide their own transportation. Okay, continue. Yes.
And so, when they come into the class, you got to remember they're at a young age. Mm-hmm. So the math, the physics, and the sciences are usually subjects they're already taking at the high school level.
Mm. Yeah,
you see,
that makes sense.
Yeah. So our requirements are not so great that it stumps you or you fall behind.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we're teaching it, we're starting off from the very beginning. We don't assume that you know 2 + 2. We're going to take that and build onto it and start from the very beginning and go very quickly through that, you know, lower phase and then start bringing you up into some physics and calculus. And then once you pass that course, that's basically the first thing that happens is we're going to do the math, we're going to do the physics, the sciences, the regulations. How does an airplane fly? Why does it fly? And why do we have these rules? Once you understand that, then we're going to go into some aerodynamics. We're going to go into some like I said, regulations. And then you're going to go do some electrical. We need you to be heavy in electricity because these days electricity is so into everything now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that core, it's very difficult to go out in today's technology and fix these airplanes because that's the direction we're going in. So once you do that, that's basically the general. Then you come over to airframe, and you're going to do the airframe part. The second part, the third part of our program is the power plant. So it's general, airframe, and power plant. When you're in the airframe, the way I explain that is if you have a car and you have an accident, the airframe side of that would be when you take that car and have it fixed, where they do the painting and they fix the body, that's airframe.
Okay.
If you go out to your car in the morning and it doesn't start, you take it to a mechanic. That's the power plant side.
Okay.
So basically, so when you come to airframe, we're going to teach you everything from the engine back. I'm talking about composites, welding, more electricity, avionics, fuel systems. Basically, if anything goes wrong with the airplane, you're supposed to know something about it or at least advise someone on how to repair it. Once you're done with that part of the program, which is the airframe, then you go to power plant. And that's just strictly engines, engines alone. And that's where you're going to work on reciprocating engines and turbine engines. And you're going to have the chance to work on fuel systems, propellers, basically anything that drives the air. And again, 9th, 10th, 11th grade, 12th grade. And for the most part, they're done and they actually go fix these airplanes for real and as a career. We had a student, Cody Harrison, that was on the show before.
Yes,
he was. If you remember him, he went out and was doing overhauls in North Carolina.
Okay.
Came back to Tallahassee, and now he just received an opening and accepted the opening at Flightline, which is one of our local businesses that fixes airplanes. So when people tell me, you know, they come here and they get this training that they have to go away, there are some opportunities here. But again, if your thing is to be, I want to be a fireman, go aviation fire. Because here at the airport, we have a whole fire station here, and they have to know something about the airplanes in order to be
able to put out fires. Yeah, what do you use?
Exactly. If you're going to go put a fire out on an airplane, you better know where the fuel tanks are.
Yes.
That might be a little important.
When you all think about your studies up to this point, what has been the most challenging for you?
Electrical. Hands down. Let me rephrase that. DC circuits, I didn't really have a problem with, both series and parallel. We got into AC circuits and started throwing in capacitors and all that stuff. I was like, what is going on here? And that's whenever I was telling about earlier how I sat there and I cried because I was so frustrated. I mean, I didn't understand it. And one of the other instructors who actually was teaching that, he helped. And then it was just one day I was like, oh, this makes sense now. But I have to say electrical has been one of the most frustrating, one of the most rewarding, one of the most challenging things I've done.
Okay. For you?
For me, I would say maintenance publications.
Okay, and that why? Tell us. Elaborate.
It was just like the most trickiest to me. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. It was the most hardest for me to complete back in general, and I was actually having a pretty hard time doing it and all that stuff. But also electricity, learning all those circuits and
oh yeah, I would think
that. It was pretty difficult. Challenging. It was pretty challenging, but all it took was just studying and motivation, and that's what got me through.
Okay.
The hardest part for me it's not actually the work. I've never really been a student to sit myself down and mm-hmm. study for a test. Mm-hmm. And so for this and getting my pilot's license, I had to sit myself down and study for these tests. And it's just made me a better student overall, from improving my grades at Lively to Leon.
Now that you all have been in the program for a while, and you've got, some education under your belt, what would you say to potential students? There might be someone who's considering, they're kind of waffling, they're not right, not really sure, and they think, hey, I'm gonna talk to John, see what he says, What would you say to him, John?
I would say, if you really want to do this, you need to go and do it. There's no maybe, mm-hmm. It's yes or no. Because if you go in there and you're like, I don't know if I want to do this, mm-hmm. you're not going to be engaged when you go in there. Mm-hmm. You have to say, I am going to do this.
Do you think that there is a period where they could sample it? Do you have any, is there an area where they could kind of sample and see if it's for me? I guess I'm asking you, Ms. Garcia.
Sure.
Is there, an exposure kind of thing, what I'm trying to say?
I can tell you, Lively Technical College prides themselves on the idea that if you take our program, aviation, and you get in there and you find that this is really not for you, we'll transfer you right into another program.
Okay.
And that happens a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I shouldn't say it happens a lot, but it happens infrequently. Okay. We'll get a student comes in and says, I thought aviation would be this, and it's not what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. Can I go into welding? Yes, go to welding.
Okay.
Or can I go to air conditioning? Yeah, go over there. Or I'm auto mechanic. I want to be more of an auto mechanic. Go there. Mm-hmm. We don't want to stop you. We want you to know what you want to do and go that direction. we don't want to hold on to you. We don't want to keep you. So if you come to me and tell me, well, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, I'm going to tell you, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go try it.
Try it.
And if that's not what you thought you wanted and you come back, you think, maybe I'd go back to aviation, you knock on my door and we're going to bring you back in.
Okay. All right. For you, what would you say to a student, Zion? I mean, who, you know, you've been there. You know what the ropes are. What kinds of things would you say to someone who's, you know?
I would say take some time to yourself, think about it, and like John said, if that's what you want to do, then do it. If you don't, then, you know, you can find something else. But, you know, follow your heart.
Yeah, and it sounds like if you do come into the program, you get exposed to so many other different things. I mean, there's electrical, there's welding, like you said. So you get a taste of some other areas of study that may even tweak you more. You may go, oh, I really, really like welding a little bit more than I like the, you know, mechanics of aviation. So you've had a little exposure to something else that you may like even better. Mm-hmm. What would you say to him?
I'd say do it. There's no reason why you shouldn't. I know while I was going through general, it was kind of boring. Like, I'll be honest with you. It was entertaining, but it was boring. But if somebody came to me, I would say stick through general. Once you get into airframe, that's where all the fun is. Talk to anybody. Everybody will say that. Even the instructors will say, just get through general because it's the basics. Uh-huh. It's the stepping stones. It's like you're in kindergarten and this is what you have to learn. And then once you get into airframe and power plant, you're in high school, college. Mm-hmm. So, but I would say go for it. If you're kind of, oh, maybe I do, maybe I don't, test it. It's not going to hurt you any.
Right. Now, you're a full-time student.
Yes.
What's your day like?
Well, I get there a little bit earlier than most people. So, but my school, I'm in school from 8 to 3. Okay. After school, depending on the day, well, most days other than Thursday, I'm at one of my two jobs.
Okay.
I might go home for 30 minutes to relax, decompress, and then go out to work. And then I'm back home. I eat dinner, do what I need to do, go to bed, get up the next day, and go right back to school and start it all over.
So you're at school from 8 to 3,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, like John, you were saying, you're there when you...
Yeah, from 12 to 3.
12 to 3.
Yes.
That's great. I mean, I like that flexibility. So it can be, again, tailored to whatever your schedule is about and where you are in your studies. Right?
Yes.
Okay. We didn't talk about, and I know people always want to know, yes, we know there are lots of jobs out there. That's not an issue. But what about the earning potential? Folks want to know, how much can I make? And, you know, just, and I know it varies, but can you share with us what they can anticipate making once they get out of school, once they get their certification? What can they anticipate? And I know it depends on,
there's
going to be a number of variables that play into
that. Yeah, students are always asking that. Mm-hmm. What is my potential here once mm-hmm. I leave? It is different because of region where you go. And so some regions is very populated with mechanics. Some regions are not populated with mechanics. For instance, Tallahassee is we don't have a lot of air traffic.
Right.
So the pay is going to be somewhere where it is. And then if you go somewhere like Atlanta, Miami, or Orlando, it's very different. So it can differ. The thing that kind of drives me crazy when I talk to students and they say, I took a job. I'm taking that job. I ask them, okay, well, how many applications did you put out there? Two. And I'm like, okay, so someone called you and offered you a job. He goes, yeah, and I took it. And I'm like, that's great. That's great. Whatever pay you're going to get, I ask them, how much can you pay? They say $19 an hour. I said, well, do you realize if you would have put more applications out there, there might have been more money there for you? Mm-hmm. And they're like, I was just so excited because they're very young. I was just so excited to get an offer, and I took the job right away thinking that that offer was there and it would go away. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, that's not true. You have to listen, make more, go out there, investigate, put many fingers out there and push buttons and try to find out what's there and see what the offers are. But and I did it myself. I can't lie. My first job was the first offer I got. I said yes. 2 weeks later, I was getting three offers that were, you know, almost, you know, 10-20% more than what I took.
Right.
But what I'm seeing here with these students when they're leaving at within the last year, it's anywhere from $17, $18, $19, $20,
$21
an hour.
Okay. Well, on that note, I just enjoy having you all every time. It's just so exciting and so informative. So I appreciate you coming and wish you lots of success, which I'm sure you will have. To my listening audience, I want to thank you for the privilege of your time and your ear and invite you to tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Holyfield. Technical assistance was provided by Ken Smith. If you would like to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. 411 Team archives are available as streaming audio and as downloads from WFSU.org. Check us out on Facebook.